This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Mike Arnold. This week marked the opening of the legislative session here in Wisconsin, but that wasn't the only thing making news in Wisconsin. Every Friday, WPR's Assistant News Director Noah Ovshinsky joins us to keep us up to date, and we'll also be talking to reporter Gilman Halstead for a few minutes about a new WPR series.
Noah, welcome back to Central Time.
It's good to be here. Thanks, Veronica.
So pretty busy news week here in Wisconsin. What tops your news list this week?
Well, I'd say number one is probably the news of the budget surplus. Apparently, the state government will have more money in their coffers than they expected, something to the tune of around $911 million.
That sounds like a lot to me. Is that a lot for the government?
I think it's quite a bit. And this money is basically higher than expected tax revenue. And in this case, you know, we're talking about higher than expected income taxes, sales taxes, as well as corporate taxes.
So obviously, big extra pot of money. That's never bad news.
Never, especially for legislators.
Especially for legislators. So that has to have people already jumping up and down trying to figure out what they're going to do with this money.
Of course.
So what kind of ideas are floated? Let's start with Governor Walker.
Sure. So we know so much. We only know so much about the governor. The governor, through his spokesperson, has said that they'd like to use it towards property taxes of some kind and income tax cuts. As far as the specifics, we're going to hear about those in his State of the State speech, which is in the middle of next week. So as far as what he's thinking, we'll hear about that next week. But some of that money, at least, is probably going to go to some kind of property or income tax cut or both.
Now, according to some people, some advocates, we are in an era of fiscal responsibility. Is there someone already talking about using this money to pay down the state debt instead?
Yeah. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald hasn't committed to one particular plan yet, but he has said that his members would like to save at least some of that money, both in a rainy day fund and also potentially use some of that money to pay down the structural deficit that the government faces.
And what about other folks in the Assembly? What are they thinking?
So Assembly Democratic Minority Leader Peter Barkas, so we're talking about the Democrats here, you know, they say some of the money should be used for tax relief, but that it should also be used for education and job training. And when we're talking about tax relief and Democrats, they would like to see that directed towards the middle class. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is also talking about tax relief. He would like at least some of that to come from reduced property taxes that are levied and collected by technical colleges in Wisconsin. So he'd like to see that bill go down as well.
So a lot of options on the table, but it seems likely that we'll be looking at some form of tax relief.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a foregone conclusion at this point. Again, we'll find out more about what the governor's thinking next week during his State of the State address.
WPR News has been tracking a new piece of legislation, a bill requiring a minority impact statement when it comes to matters regarding crime. Can you break down what a minority impact statement would involve?
So this is a piece of legislation that is sponsored by State Senator Nikia Harris. And basically what it requires is that any new crime-related bill, we could talk about penalties, that sort of thing, associated with a particular crime, this legislation requires that those bill, when it's being drafted, be evaluated for what effect it will have on minorities. And lawmakers are calling this a racial impact study. It's kind of like the studies that some legislators have called for that look at the financial implications of this crime-related legislation. This will actually look at what impact it may have on a particular minority group.
And other states have this already, right?
Yeah, I believe three states have similar laws, including Iowa.
Now, as far as the advocates of this bill, what goal are they hoping to achieve with it?
Right. Well, for the backers of this bill, they feel it will help address, at least one very troubling statistic, namely the fact that here in Wisconsin right now, one out of every eight black males is currently incarcerated. And that's something that they feel that this racial impact study could help address.
Now, as I heard in one of our newscasts on this topic, other states have looked at this and opponents have weighed in. What does some of the opposition say to this?
Right. So this kind of approach does have its critics. In fact, Gilman Halstead in a recent story wrote that some people feel it makes more sense to spend money and really concentrate on improving the circumstances that some of these folks who do commit these crimes, the circumstances that they're in, economic, educational opportunities. These are the things that people think money should be spent on as a way to, make the crime rate decline, so to speak. They also say that the government is already, the state government, are already increasing the amount of money that they spend on prison alternatives for people who are arrested for nonviolent drug offenses. So those are some of the approaches that people would like to see as opposed to, evaluating these sort of tough on crime bills, evaluating, what effect they may have on a particular minority.
So another story making news in Wisconsin this week is the withdrawal of a proposed bill that would have changed child support laws. Can you catch us up on that one?
Right. So this is one of those pieces of legislation that started out more or less below the radar, and then it really exploded, as the case may be. It was supposed to have a public hearing, and the bill in question that we're talking about was written by Oconomowoc Republican Joel Clayfish, and it basically capped child support payments for parents making a certain amount of money. Now, that in of itself is not what made it controversial, the fact that it deals with child support payments. What makes it controversial is that the Wisconsin State Journal and Milwaukee Journal Sentinel obtained documents that showed Clayfish worked closely with one person in particular in writing that bill. And that person was a wealthy donor to both he and his wife's campaigns, Michael Izenga, who it turns out stood to benefit directly from a change in law.
And as a result, Clayfish withdrew that legislation. Is there anything that happened after that?
Right. So he did issue a statement this week saying that that legislation was withdrawn after this uproar. This issue of child support reform may come up again in the legislature, albeit maybe in a different form. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has said it may be revisited in the next session, that there may be public support for some kind of, child support reform.
Any indication of whether there will be any further ramifications for Clayfish himself?
At this point, it's unclear. All I can say is the legislation had been withdrawn. As for the future of that particular bill, who knows?
All right. And WPR News has some new projects coming up, and one of them involves a new series from reporters Chuck Kornbach and Gilman Halstead. We just heard the first installment today on Central Time. Gilman's in studio with us now to talk about the series and what we can expect down the road. Hey, Gilman, thanks for being here.
Glad to be here.
Well, we just heard the first in what's going to be an ongoing series about gun violence in Wisconsin. What are you hoping to cover in the series?
Well, it may narrow a little bit more from our original idea, but the idea is to track each homicide as it happens throughout this over this calendar year, and try to put it in some context for where it happened and why it happened, and then look at the law enforcement policies surrounding the use of guns that have an impact on that. So that's sort of the main idea. I mean, when Chuck Kornbach actually came up with this idea, and one of the phrases that he's used in referring to what we're trying to do is to track what you might call slow motion mass murder. Because by the end of the year, we're going to be looking at, last year was 166. We'll see how close we get to gun homicides this year, and look at how, why, and where they happened in the state.
And what do you think makes this the right year to be pursuing the series?
Well, I mean, we could have done it last year, but I think the national media focus and media attention on, mainly it's on mass shootings, has helped to increase what has been an ongoing debate about gun rights and gun control. And so we're going to be looking at how that debate relates to the number of murders that are actually going on. So there are lots of things involved. We will also be trying to keep track of, whether there are any of these murders that happen in which a person had a concealed carry permit, for example. That's something that's just within the last 2 years in Wisconsin become an issue, and we've had some cases already. So those are really the sort of current hook for it.
And do you have any ideas in the pipeline for what we might be hearing next?
Yes, I know Chuck Kornbach is looking into doing a story on this ShotSpotter technology that's being used in Milwaukee. In fact, just yesterday, the legislature gave Milwaukee Police Chief Ed Flynn some more money to expand the use of that, which is putting microphones in areas where shootings have gone on and trying to get – it allows police to get to the area quicker because the technology, I think, has GPS attached to it so they can find out where it is, get there, get the investigation done. And perhaps it will deter in the same way that video cameras, which have also been used, are put up to deter violent crimes.
Well, Gilman, thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to hearing your next pieces.
Thanks for having me.
And Noah, thanks, and see you next Friday.
We'll see you next Friday.
Noah Obchinsky is WPR's assistant news director, and Gilman Halstead is a reporter on staff.
Coming up, why the rise of countries like India and China could mean good news for the United States. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Mike Arnold. It's Central Time on a Friday.